I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it.
Retweet it.
My feed.
A few weeks ago, the Uluru Statement from the Heart won the Sydney Peace Prize for bringing together Australia's First Nations peoples and delivering an agenda that will help Australia move forward in a united future. Not everyone understands what the statement is, but our My Feed guest has a few suggestions on how you can learn more. Tonight's guest is Thomas Mayer, author of Finding the Heart of the Nation, a children's book about the Uluru Statement. Welcome.
Hi, Patricia. Thanks.
Let's just hear a little. That's a beautiful song, can I say? So I got away with running as much of that as I can. Thomas, for those listeners who don't know, what is the Uluru Statement?
Well, the Uluru Statement is the culmination of over a couple of hundred years of First Nations struggle to try and be heard, really. And one of the things it says is that in 1967 we were counted and now we seek to be heard. So, you know, really it's the next step that we need to take in this nation to repair the damage that was done in the past and bring us together as a stronger country.
Now, there's a recently released book on the Uluru Statement, which you've been loving. Who is it by and why are you loving it so much?
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading Professor Megan Davis and George Williams' new book about the Uluru Statement. It's all you need to know about the Uluru Statement. And I really enjoyed reading it because I know it's going to be very useful for people out there that are just learning about the Uluru Statement. You know, there's some great momentum behind the campaign to enshrine a voice in the Constitution since it won the Sydney Peace Prize. And I know people will be looking for a place to learn about it, and this book is great.
What are people on your socials saying about it?
Well, I see a lot of people saying that this book has been, you know, excellent to understand the Uluru Statement. I see the usual trolls as well saying, you know, that they shouldn't be stopped from climbing Uluru. You know, I mean, those people are still there. But, you know, it's just good to see people able to learn from, you know, such brilliant and well-respected academics, and one of them being, you know, an Aboriginal woman that was central to the making of the Uluru Statement.
All right, now we're going to move to another story, and this story about a Victorian couple who travelled to Queensland through New South Wales, regional New South Wales, has been on your radar. They're obviously, you know, there's obviously issues around the rules. The police say they're still talking to them, but people are talking about it a lot on your social media feeds, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially as a First Nation person, you know, my social media feed, you know, Blackfella Twitter, we call it, just all the concern with, you know, that these people travelled through, you know, communities in rural New South Wales where, you know, a lot of Blackfellas live, and, you know, Aboriginal advocates have done so well to keep COVID out of our communities, and it was panic stations there.
Yeah, that's, you're right. There was a lot of concern because so many Aboriginal people live in some of the places that they were going through. How hard have First Nations communities worked to keep COVID out of communities? They were really the leaders here, weren't they?
Oh, they're world renowned, actually. You know, the effort that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders put into and the leadership that they took in this country to stop COVID from reaching remote communities is, you know, something that is being talked about around the world. It's a very, something that we should celebrate, and it gives us another reason why we should have a First Nations voice, you know, when we can speak for ourselves and organise how things are done in our community, then we have success.
Do you think the media treats everyone equally based on who's broken the rules?
No, I don't think it does. You know, we saw, you know, people of colour had their face, you know, splashed across the media when that happened, you know, and we saw some satire recently. I think it was the Batuta Advocate or the Shovel talking about how, you know, Queensland media is trying to work out what colour the couple was that travelled through New South Wales and Queensland recently to see how they're going to react. Yeah,
and that is kind of an ongoing issue, you know, what sort of treatment people are given. But more broadly, though, do you think there should be a hard line used on people, or should it be more the carrot rather than the stick, right? Having hard line rules, fining people, jailing people, or you know, trying to sort of educate instead. What's your view on how we should handle the ongoing health emergency around COVID?
Well, it's got to be a combination. You know, the couple that travelled through Queensland and New South Wales from Victoria recently were just, you know, quite ignorant to all the other sacrifices that everybody else was making to do the right thing. And so, you know, I think, you know, the stick has to be brought out sometimes to deter people that think that's okay. But, you know, education and encouragement is very important, and I think a lot more work needs to be done on that too.
Yeah, I think so too. Speaking of satire that you mentioned, let's have a listen to this.
Oh man, Melbourne is really going through it.
And my reaction to that is, what do they want from us?
Possibly, and this is just a guess, empathy and understanding.
Okay, but how can I possibly empathise with something I haven't gone through? That would take social intelligence, which I don't have, do you?
Reels are so funny. Have you seen them on Instagram? Little videos.
I think I know what they want.
Support from the federal government?
They need a cultural hero.
Yes, superficial messaging channeled into our obsession with the cult of the individual.
Exactly, they need an egg boy of the pandemic.
Yes, if that egg boy was an egg man and that egg man was an egg doctor.
Get rid of the egg.
What? Get rid of the egg?
Okay, what is it that you love about satire news?
I just, you know, I mean, when you're scrolling through your social media and you've got all the doom and gloom and everything like that, and then you come across these satire things, you know, The Chaser, The Shovel, Batuta Advocate, it just lightens it a bit. And at the same time, you know, I mean, you get a laugh, but it's just, it really brings it home just how crazy real life is and the way that our politicians are doing things, you know.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like a bit too close to reality sometimes. What are your go-tos for good political satire?
I'm following all of them, I think. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you get a good laugh from them. The Shovel, you know, Batuta Advocate and The Chaser, yeah, mainly.
Yeah. All right, before I let you go, we always ask our guest for a recommendation for our listeners. What's yours?
Well, I'd love people to follow Blackfella Book Club on Instagram. There's some really good literature out there by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander authors. We talked about Professor Megan Davis's new book. It's a great place to go to, you know, to see what's out there that First Nations people are producing, and a good way to learn about us and the things that we need to do as well.
Yes, because you are very good sharers, so it's all there, right?
Yeah, it's all there. You
I've
know,
always
just
said
go and
Aboriginal
learn.
People, very good sharers, always happy to share, so try and maybe find out.
Well, in many ways, it's our culture, you know, and it's there's all sorts of things that we can bring to this country if they just include our voice in the centre of decision-making, like the Uluru Statement calls for.
Thank you so much for joining us, Thomas.
Thanks, PK.
Thomas Mayer is the author of Finding the Heart of the Nation. Coming up next, it's The Drawing Room.